Will you please turn to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 13. We'll read the first five verses. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the authorities that are above him. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist are set up by God. So that he that sets himself in opposition to the authority resists the ordinance of God. And they who thus resist shall bring sentence of guilt on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to a good work, but to an evil one. Dost thou desire then not to be afraid of the authority? Practice what is good, and thou shalt have praise from it, for it is God's minister to thee for good. But if thou practicest evil, fear, for it bears not the sword in vain, for it is God's minister and avenger for wrath to him that does evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be subject, not only on account of wrath, but also on account of conscience. The Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. For I also am a man under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my bondman, do this, and he does it. The Gospel according to John. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, save whatever he sees the Father doing. For whatever things he does, these things also the Son does in like manner. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things which he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may wonder. Verse 26. For even as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is Son of Man. Verse 30. I cannot do anything of myself. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my will, but the will of him that has sent me. And the same Gospel, chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 28 and verse 29. Jesus therefore said to them, when ye shall have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I do always the things that are pleasing to him. And finally, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Just one verse. Verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Shall we pray? Lord, we have just remembered thee at thy table. Our hearts are constrained by thy love, knowing that thou who hast died for us, we all die. And now we live for thee who died and lived for us. Lord, we are thine. We are not ours. We regret that how often we hinder thee instead of serving thee. Lord, forgive us for our ignorance. Forgive us for our stubbornness. We do not know authority. We do not know obedience. Lord, these things are foreign to us. We do pray that thou will open our eyes, open our understanding, open our heart, that we may see what authority really is. Teach us the lesson of obedience and show us how to be in authority as well as under authority, that thy work may be done and thy will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. We just commit this time into thy hands, confessing that we know nothing. We ask that thou will open thy word, shine thy light upon us, and deliver us. Lead us into thy truth, that thou mayst truly have us for thyself. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. We mentioned yesterday morning that there is a fundamental truth that we must always remember. And that truth is, there is no authority except from God. Or to put it in another way, in this universe, in the creation, God is the only and one authority. Whatever is not God, is not of God, is a counterfeit. Only that which is God Himself, only that which is given by God, that authority is true. We share together on the very nature of authority. How different God's authority or the true authority is different from the authority that we usually understand and accept. Because authority is God's right. It is something that comes out of Himself. Therefore, it carries with Him in His authority, His very character in it. God's authority is spiritual, is not positional. God's authority is life. It's not something that you assume. God's authority is giving, not getting. God's authority is serving in its nature, not to be served. And God's authority is love. These are the nature of authority. The purpose of authority is not for overthrowing. Even though this is our impression, it is because we are a rebelling people. God's authority is primary for building up. It is through God's authority that there can be any building. Whether it is individual, the building up of our spiritual life, it takes God's authority to do that. If you reject God's authority in your life, you will find that you will never be built up. You will remain a babe, if you are saved, a babe in Christ. And it is the authority of God that builds up the church. Otherwise, the church will never be built. How precious is authority? It is something not to be rejected, but it is something that we should look forward to and to welcome. Our response to authority is to obey. And we mentioned at the very last that there are certain signs that show who really know what authority is. And I'm sorry to say, I have to make a confession, my memory failed me yesterday. In the last point, I substitute something other than what Brother Nee said. So I ask your forgiveness for me. And what Brother Nee said, the last sign of people who know authority is, he is sensitive to every lawlessness. Now this morning, lawlessness. This morning we would like to continue on with a further look into delegated authority. Now brothers and sisters, we say God is authority. I don't believe that anyone here will challenge this statement. Probably we think that it is easy for us to obey God as authority. In other words, we have no problem with God as authority. Now, if you have any problem with that, you are very serious trouble. But I think we have no trouble by accepting that God is the authority. We have no trouble in at least mentally accepting that we should obey God's direct authority. Because after all, He is God. And we are His created beings. But even though we do accept it mentally, but when you come to our actual living, we find how often we challenge God's authority. Take for instance the Apostle Peter. You find that in his life, more than once, he challenged God's authority. You know, on that night of the betrayal of our Lord Jesus, the Lord knew that He came from the Father. He knew that He was going back to His Father. He knew that He was their Lord and their Master. But He loved them. And He loved them to the uttermost. And on that night, He washed His disciples' feet to show His love to them. He is the authority. And that authority is expressed in love. In loving service. In humble service. But when he came to Peter, you remember? Peter said, Lord, what are you doing here? You should never do that. I will not allow you to do that. Now, who is Lord? The Lord Jesus or Peter? Did he really learn the lesson that evening? Hardly. Because even after our Lord died and resurrected and ascended, and the Holy Spirit came, and you know Peter was greatly used by God, and then one day while he was on that rooftop in Jaffa, he was a little bit hungry because it was noontime, and people were cooking food there. So while he was at the rooftop, praying, probably he was still thinking of eating. But anyway, you find that God used that opportunity to give him a vision of a great white sheet coming down from heaven. And it came down right to his front, and he looked into it, and all these unclean animals there. And the voice said, rise, kill, and eat. Now, how strong was Peter's tradition? Tradition has very strong hold on a person. Even though Peter was hungry, but tradition was so strong. He said, Lord, not so. This cannot be done. Because I have never eaten anything unclean. And the voice said, what God has cleansed, let no man say it is unclean. And it happened 3 times. And Peter didn't do it until the white sheet went up to heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, do we laugh at Peter? Let us laugh at ourselves. How often we say, Lord, Lord, not so. So, brothers and sisters, even though mentally we do accept the direct authority of God, we think there's no problem with that. But we still have problems. And how we need to see him as God. That he has absolute authority over us. And to his authority there shall be no questioning, no argument, but instant. Absolute submission and absolute obedience. Now this morning we would like to share on this matter of delegated authority. And that's all the problems are here. God is authority. He uses his authority to create all things. He uses his authority to maintain all things. He uses his authority to govern all things. That the whole universe will be in harmony and in order. Now, if God should keep his authority all to himself, how simple it will be. But unfortunately, and thank God for that unfortunate thing, that it is his good pleasure to delegate authority. Do not ask me why. But it is His good pleasure. God is God. That is His right. And if He wants to delegate authority, that's what He can do. No one can question Him. But it seems that this is God's pleasure. Now, maybe there's a reason behind it. Of course, today, we seem to catch a little bit of what the reason is, but still you'll find it is beyond our understanding. Why God should delegate authority and not keep every authority just to Himself, and everything is direct authority and nothing else. How simple it will be. There will not be all these problems. But it pleases God to delegate authority. Even in the first world, He delegated His authority to angelic beings. And you remember in the scripture, it tells us there are angels and archangels. There are seraphims and cherubims. And there are principalities and authorities. In other words, you'll find that after He created the universe, He delegated His authority to angelic beings. Some with greater authority, some with less authority. And all these delegated authorities are God's servants. Angels are God's servants. In other words, they serve God under God's authority. Under God's authority and with the authority that God has given to them, they govern this universe for the glory of God. Everything was beautiful. Everything expressed the glory of God. Everything served the purpose of God. All these angelic beings, they were under God's authority when they exercised the authorities given to them. We say again, authorities are not something assumed. Authority is something given. And these angelic beings were given authorities. And as long as they exercise the authorities given by God, under God, everything works perfect. But as our brother already mentioned, unfortunately, in that prehistorical time, one archangel, beautiful, talented, highly positioned, gifted. God gave that archangel great authorities, dominion. But somehow an evil thought entered into his mind. In other words, he began to be conscious of himself. In the beginning, nothing, no one was conscious of himself. The only consciousness in this universe is God. All these angelic beings, they were not conscious of themselves. They were not conscious of their positions. They were not conscious of their gifts. They were only conscious of the God whom they serve. Everything received from God and everything returned to God. The beginning of rebelling is self-consciousness. One archangel began to be conscious of himself. He began to be conscious of his beauty. conscious of his power, conscious of his position, conscious of his skills, conscious of the authorities given to him. And when he began to be conscious of himself, he wanted to use all the authorities and powers and gifts and beauty that God has given to him to serve God. Instead, he wanted to use all these to serve himself. And to do that, a rebellious spirit came upon him. Instead of being under the authority of God, he wanted to set up his own authority. Instead of serving God's kingdom, he wanted to establish his own kingdom, his own dominion. And for this reason, he was cast out of the Garden of Eden above. He turned himself into Satan, the adversary of God. Evidently, our solar system at that time was under his control. Oh, how he had affected not only the earth that was under his control, but he affected even other angels. He was able to instill that poison, rebellious spirit, into one third of the angelic host, and to lead them into rebellion. And he was able to turn this earth that God has created into ruin and darkness. Now, brothers and sisters, it is true. All these things happened because when God's authority was challenged, God would not allow it. God's discipline came and God's judgment came. That is true. But in another sense, brothers and sisters, that was the result of that rebellious spirit. Wherever there is a rebellious spirit, it brings in darkness. It brings in ruin. It brings in emptiness. That is purposeless. So in other words, you find that because this Lucifer became self-conscious and he wanted to make himself equal with God, an authority in himself, instead of under the authority and functioning with the authority God has given him. Brothers and sisters, here you find he was cast out and his dominion turned into ruin and darkness. But God did not give up. He did not give up the idea of delegated authority. Now, if it were you or me, after such thing happened, you would say, well, it is better not to delegate authority. I will just hold it all by myself. But no, God is different from us. Even though Satan seemed to set up his own kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, even though Satan rebelled against God's authority, and he was under God's judgment. And yet we know one thing. He was still under God's authority. He tried to pull himself out of God's authority and set up his own. But he was still under God's authority. He could not do anything he wanted to do. You know, even when he tried to tempt us, he has to get some permission from God. He is still under God's authority. So no matter how you want to get out of God's authority, you just cannot get out. Because he is the authority of the universe. There is no way out. You only bring judgment upon yourself, trouble upon yourself. But thank God he did not give up the idea of delegating authority. There must be a reason behind it, a very glorious reason behind it. So we do not know how long it passed. But we knew from the Word of God, the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the deep. Like a hen brooded over an egg. And use his warmth, use his love to repair this ruined earth. And on the sixth day, God did a most marvelous thing. It was something that he had never done even in the first creation. He decided to create man in his own image after his likeness. Now, God has never done that. He created his angelic beings, beautiful, glorious. But he didn't create them in his own image. But now he decided, even after that catastrophe that happened to him, he didn't go backward. He took a step forward. He created man. Man lower than the angels, and yet created in his own image. In other words, you find when he created man, he gave man the capacity to receive him into death. He knew that the only safe way to save God, delegated authority, is his own life. So you find he created man with the capacity to receive his own life. And then he gave dominion to man. Over the fowls of the air, over the animals of the field, and over the fishes of the sea. And God put the tree of life in the middle of the garden. Our brother has already mentioned that. In other words, God was saying, I still delegated my authority. But remember, the secret to be my delegated authority is to receive my life. That's the safeguard. Now again, man sinned. Instead of receiving the life of God into them, so that when they exercise the authority God has given them, they will be under God's life. And that's safe. But instead of that, you find they eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, they develop their self-consciousness. They wanted to make themselves God. And brothers and sisters, when that happened, curse came upon this earth. The ground will grow thistles and thorns. You know what thorns are? Thorns are aborted fruits. God's purpose is to bear fruit. But here you find instead of fruit, it's aborted. It didn't arrive at its end. It becomes thorns. That's the curse. Whenever God's authority is rejected, there will be curse. And the greatest curse is you never arrive at God's end. Now we will say, now, surely, God had done twice, and surely that should teach him a lesson. But God didn't learn that lesson. And thank God for that. God still didn't give up. You know, his desire of delegating authority is still there. He never changes. Now, in the scripture that we read in the beginning, Romans chapter 13, it says there is no authority except from God. And that which exists are set up by God. Now, God still sets up authorities on this earth. We find that in the nations there are kings, rulers, government. You read the book of Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 2, verse 11 and 21, it says, God, it is God who changes times and seasons, who deposes kings and set up kings. And in that song of Mary, in Luke chapter 1, you find Mary said, you are the one who put down the rulers from their throne and lift up the lowly. So in other words, you find that God still delegates authority. In this world, he set up kings, rulers, and these are God's ministers. They are set up by God to serve God's purpose. They are to serve God for good, not to for evil. And that's the reason why if you do not want to be afraid of authorities, do good. Not only in the government, in the nations, he set up authorities, but you find that in our homes, he set up authorities. Our parents, father, mother, they are authorities set up by God in our homes. And even in the church, you find that God sets up authority, delegated authority in elders, those whom God has chosen to represent his authorities in the church. So here you'll find God still delegates authority. He loves to do that. Now, what is delegated authority? Or when authority of God is delegated, what does it mean? It means that those who are delegated authority are to represent God. So you find it is a tremendous responsibility. So far as God is concerned, brothers and sisters, for Him to delegate authority is a great risk. But so far as we are concerned, to be delegated authority is a great, serious responsibility. Because we are to represent God. And you know, the sin of misrepresentation is a very serious sin. Moses served God with all faithfulness, but towards the end, his spirit was provoked. And he said something. He did something he should never do. He struck the rock. And say, I give you waters, rebels. He misrepresented God's authority. He misused God's authority. He misrepresented God. Because the children of Israel will say, well, so this is what God is like. No, God is not. And for this reason, he was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Brothers and sisters, if we know what delegated authority is, we will not desire to be so delegated. Anyone who desires to be God's delegated authority is disqualified to be God's delegated authority. Remember this. There are two things we would like to consider before the Lord this morning. On this matter of delegated authority. One is those who are being delegated that authority. In other words, those who are in authority for God. And then the second thing is those who are under authority. Under God's delegated. When God delegates authority to a person, we have already said he is to represent God in whatever he does. Whenever that authority is being exercised, it has to express God. It is not to express himself, but to express God. And whenever he does not express God and expresses himself, it is a misrepresentation. And this is a serious sin in the sight of God. There is one man who shows us what delegated authority really is. And that man, of course, is our Lord Jesus. Now, of course, he being God He is the very principle of direct authority. He is God. But when our Lord Jesus emptied himself and became a man, you find when he was on earth, he is the perfect specimen of what delegated authority is. You know, when he came to this earth, he has no position whatsoever on this earth. Even though he is the son of David, and yet he was not born in Jerusalem. He was not born in a palace. He was born in Bethlehem, a tiny city, in a manger. He had no position on this earth. He had never been to school, to a rabbinical school, to learn. He had no status whatsoever. So if you look at our Lord Jesus, you find that there is nothing outwardly that gave him authority. But yet our Lord Jesus, while he was on earth, he was a man of authority. We all are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. And when our Lord Jesus delivered that Sermon on the Mount, when he finished it, all those who heard him said, well, he is different from our scribes because he teaches with authority. Now, even today, when we read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we will come to the same conclusion. We hear something. We hear words coming from a man with authority. Not only his words are full of authority. Yes. With a word, sickness was healed. The centurion, he understood authority. And when his servant was sick, he asked that the Lord will come and heal him. But he said, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy for you to come to my humble house. You say a word, that's enough. Because you're a man of authority. I know what authority is. I am under authority. As a centurion, he was under the authority of Caesar. And when he was under Caesar's authority, he had authority over his 100 men. When he said, you go, you go, you come, you do this, it cannot be challenged. That's authority. Brothers and sisters, our Lord is a man of authority. He say a word, and it is done. Now remember, this authority is not his authority as God. As God, he say, let there be light, and light be. But here you'll find as man, he had delegated authority. He just say a word, and it's done. Say a word, and the demon is cast out. Say a word, and the sea is calmed. He has authority over the sea, over everything while he was on earth. No position, while he was exercising this authority?
No position.
It is spiritual. It is love. It is giving. It is serving. But there you'll find he is a man with authority. And you know how his authority was challenged. In the beginning of his ministry, he entered into the temple, he looked around, and he saw all these trays going on, noises. And our Lord Jesus made a whip, drove out all these cattle, overturned the table of the money changers, and he said, "You have made my Father's house a house of merchandise, a bazaar. You disgrace my Father's house." And the Jews said, "Show us a sign." What does it mean? It means that on what authority you are doing this? Who are you? Show us a sign. And you know what the sign our Lord gave them? The Lord said, "You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." That's the sign. What is a sign of authority of our Lord Jesus while he was on earth? Giving his life for the world. Lay down his life and take it up again. That's authority. That's the sign. And then you remember at the end of his ministry, it happened again. In Matthew, it is recorded. He, at his last entry into Jerusalem, after 3 and so years of laboring, he discovered that the temple was not getting better, but is getting worse. So again you'll find he cleansed the temple. But after he did that, the Pharisees, the officials, they came and challenged him. On what authority do you do this? Who gives you the authority to do that? They know it takes authority to do these things. But who gives you the authority? On whose authority are you doing that? And as our brother already mentioned, the Lord didn't answer their question, but questioned them. The baptism of John, is it from God or from man? In other words, it is clear. It is evident. The Lord does not need to defend his authority. The Pharisees. The officials of the temple. They had position. Now in the beginning it might be. It is because of their godliness. You know, God chose high priests. And those priests were supposed to be set apart to serve God. And the Pharisees were supposed to study the word, the law, and to keep them. Maybe in the beginning there was some sincerity. There was some piety there. And because of this, they got into a position. But now, there was no authority there. It's a counterfeit authority. Based on position, based on tradition, not based on life. So here you find these two authorities clash. Man-made authority, positional, traditional, clash with real authority, spiritual life. And you know that false authority only destroys. It never builds. And if it builds, it builds a Tower of Babel, a Babylon. But anyway, it shows you that our Lord, while He was on earth as a man, He had authority. And that authority is not God's authority in the first place. His authority is delegated authority. How do we know? You read the Gospel according to John. Because in the Gospel of John, our Lord Jesus said again, He said, I can do nothing of myself. I saw my Father doing it, so I do it. I cannot say anything on my own. I say it because I heard my Father say it. It is He who is doing it within me. It is He who is speaking it within me. I always do the things that please the Father, and He is always with me. If I judge, God has given me the authority to judge. I judge not on my own, but I judge according to Him. So, brothers and sisters, you find that throughout His life, when He emptied Himself to become a man, He left His authority as God behind. He came as a man under authority. And how He put Himself completely under the authority of God His Father. To such an extent that He will never do anything or say anything or go anywhere. Even His timing is in God's hand. You remember how His brother in the flesh said, well, this is feast time. Everybody go to Jerusalem. And if you want to show yourself, go to Jerusalem where the people are and show them who you are. And our Lord said, your time is always convenient, but my hour has not yet come. In other words, you find that His whole life, He lived His whole life under God's authority. And it's so perfect. His obedience to God's authority is so absolute and perfect. Therefore, God has given Him delegated authority. Perfect and complete. So His authority while He was on earth was not God's authority in the beginning. Direct authority is delegated authority. It is because He put Himself under God's authority. Therefore, He was given authority. And brothers and sisters, how He used that authority. He never used His authority for Himself. He always used that authority for His Father. He never used His authority to deliver Himself from the cross. He can do that. When He was mocked and said, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. He can very well do that. But He didn't. He exercised his authority to remain on the cross. Brothers and sisters, that is delegated authority. Now, how about us? If God should delegate his authority to us, isn't that a big risk? If God should honor us, to delegate his authority to us, remember, it is a tremendous responsibility. To whom will God delegate his authority? To what degree he will delegate his authority to man? The principle is according to the degree of his life. According to the degree of his life in each one of us. Because authority is in life, in God's life. And brothers and sisters, thank God, our forefather Adam, he lost authority, he lost dominion God has given him. But today, God again gives authority to those who are his, in whom he has put his own life. And brothers and sisters, with that life comes delegated authority. So every one of us have been delegated authority. Now, do you know that? Do you know that every child of God has a measure of delegated authority? And it is a tremendous responsibility. He wants you to use that delegated authority to serve God's purpose. To represent God and to do his work. And I believe this is the reason why he wants to delegate authority. You know, God loves us so much. He wants to honor us so much that he wants us to have a part in his great work. The work of building that holy city, the New Jerusalem, the bride of his beloved Son. You need authority for that. He wants you and me to have a part in it. Therefore, he is willing to risk with you and me. Whatever life God has given you, there is that measure of authority there. And the Lord said, use it under my authority. Exercise it under my authority. And when you are doing that, you find that God's work is done. There will be building. But remember one thing. In order to do that, we need to deny ourselves. If our Lord Jesus, who is a perfect man, he has to deny himself every time, in the smallest thing as well as the biggest thing, then how much more we who have this sinful nature in us? How much more we need the working of the cross in our lives? If we do not deny ourselves, there is always that danger that we will misuse the authority God has given us. We will use the authority God has given us to misrepresent Him. We will use it for our own purpose. We will use it to build our own kingdom. But remember, it's the kingdom of darkness that we are building. Never for a moment think that because you are given authority, therefore you become authority. You are not. No matter how much authority God has given you on the basis of His life in you, whenever you are out of touch with God's life, you are not living in the Spirit of God. You have no authority whatsoever. You are no authority. You know, our trouble today is authority blinds our eyes. Authority deceives us into thinking that now we are authority. So we can say anything we like, we can do anything we want, we can tell people what to do, and they must do it. Otherwise we punish them. Dear brothers and sisters, this is not the authority of God. This is abuse God's authority. We are never authority. What little authority we may have, it is Christ. He is the authority. So to put it very simply, what is delegated authority? Delegated authority is Christ in you. God's life in you, that is delegated authority. And that's the measure of authority you have. And whether you're prophesying according to the proportion of faith, whether you're serving according to the measure God has given to you, do not be out of bounds. Do not be careless, thinking that now you are authority. You never are. So Brother Nee told us, there are three requirements to be delegated authority. Number one, always remember that God is the authority and nobody else. Number two, deny. Always deny yourself, because you are to represent God's authority, not to substitute God's authority. And number three, always in communion with God, because when you are out of touch with God, you lose it. You lose that authority. so what authority you still claim you have is a counterfeit. All right. We have to move to the second one. I have 8 more minutes. Now we come to this matter of under authority. Now, brothers and sisters, you know it is equally difficult to be in authority and to be under authority. Now, do not think to be in authority is easy. It's very difficult. Probably it's more difficult than to be under authority. Now, there's no problem to be under authority of God direct. Now, our problem is under delegated authority. That's our problem. Because we were saying, now, who are you? You are not God. Why should I submit to you? Well, it is because we do not understand what authority is. You know, brothers and sisters, if you understand what authority is, there's no problem. Because whether it is direct or delegated, it is God. When you are submitting to the authorities that God has set above you, you are not submitting to man or woman. You are submitting to God. And if only you can see this, where's the problem? Your problem is with God, it's not with man. So if you have that problem, better go to God and deal with that. Now do not try to deal with man, because you won't be able to solve it. You have to go to God to solve that problem. As a matter of fact, I love that verse. Submitting yourself to one another in the fear of Christ. Oh, I love that verse. You know, Paul was going to tell us the relationship between husband and wife, the relationship between parents and children, the relationship between masters and slaves. In other words, he was going to tell us that in this world, there is an order there. In this world, there is those who will be put in authority, and there will be those who will be under authority. Now, that's the way God has arranged this world, either nationally or in a home or in the church. Now, before he mentioned that, he laid down a principle. And he says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of Christ. Brothers and sisters, our first thought should not be, whom will I have authority over? Our first thought should be, whom should I submit to? And here you find submission should be our attitude. We should seek for submission, not seek for authority. Submit to one another in the fear of Christ. In other words, as the members of the body of Christ. Every member has a measure of Christ there. And to that measure of Christ, we must submit. It is for the fear of Christ. And the fear there is not the fear of punishment. The fear there is the fear of not pleasing the Lord. We want to please the Lord. And because we want to please Him so much, therefore, whenever we see that measure, that expression, that manifestation of Christ coming out from any brother and sister, submit to it. Sometimes the great member has to submit to the small member. Submit yourself to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, if this is our attitude, what will happen? When we submit ourselves one to another, then the divine order will appear. You see, the divine order appears through our submission. When we begin to submit to one another, and the Spirit of God will show us whom has He set up as authorities over us that we should obey, and whom should learn to submit. You see, that will come out very naturally. Now, the reason why in the church today there's so much quarrel over this matter of leadership or who is to be in authority, it is because everybody wants to be in authority and not to submit. Everybody wants others to submit to them and not to submit to others. Now, that's the problem. So when you are doing that, remember that divine order will never come forth. But whenever brothers and sisters really see it and have an attitude of submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, do not look at your brothers and sisters, the Adam or the Eve in them, but look at your brothers and sisters, the Christ in them. Try to find Christ in them and to submit to the Christ in them. When we are all doing that, now God will decide who should be in authority. Because nobody wants to be in authority. It's a tremendous responsibility. To be in authority is to serve as the bond slaves of all. Now who wants to do that? Unless God apprehends you, who wants to do that? But when God apprehends, how dare you not to do it? It is for God, not for yourself. It is to desire a good work. The work of God to be done. And brothers and sisters, I believe with my whole heart that the order will be manifested. Naturally, supernaturally manifested. So there should be no problem. Our whole attitude needs to be changed. Oh, there are many more we can share, but our time is up. I do trust the Holy Spirit of God to really show us what authority is. And if you really know what authority is, submission, obedience should be no problem. But again I say, naturally, we know neither authority nor obedience. It is not in us. Whether it is authority, it is Christ. Whether it is obedience, it is Christ. He is the very principle of authority. He is the very principle of obedience. And it is He in us who enables us to have delegated authority. It is He in us who enables us to submit to the authorities that God has set above us. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we have to acknowledge we know neither authority nor obedience. But we do praise and thank Thee for saving us, for giving Thy beloved Son to us. In Him we find authority. In Him we find obedience. We pray that whether it is authority or obedience, they will become very life to us. That through authority and obedience, we may serve Thy purpose. And all glory be unto Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.